Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media, from my friends.
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is.
So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. We are.
We are. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I know now that we are one. There is no separation. We are one.
No matter how you cut it, no matter how you slice it, you're always going to end up with the one. You slice it, you cut it, you get more of the one. So you actually multiply the consciousness of love. You're multiplying the consciousness of truth. You're multiplying Godness, goodness. So cut it all you want, separate all you want. It's all part of the oneness. Carly Jackson reminding us that we are truly indeed one. One with the presence, one with the one, one with the all good, one with the all thing and the no thing. As a matter of fact, maybe we shouldn't even start saying the all good anymore, because in the when the mind, if you say all good, then that means there's a all bad. But then we say God is the only thing that's happening, God is all good, then something must be bad. So maybe we just need to say God is, and you get to fill it in, dot, dot, dot. God is, dot, dot, dot. For you, God could be all good. For you, God could be sometimes bad. You get to deal with the consequences of your own consciousness. The truth is, consciousness is creative. Your consciousness creates your reality. You express life based on what you know, what you're aware of, what you've experienced. So stop blaming everybody else. If you don't like what you see, if you don't like what you're feeling, if you don't like how your life is evolving, invite the spiritual janitor inside of you so that spiritual janitor can do some cleaning up. There's some cleaning up that needs to happen. And I don't care how in love you are with your wife, your husband, your partner, your mate, your boo, your whatever, your that's my whatever you want to call your beloved. Only you are the most qualified spiritual janitor to clean up your own mess, because you know where you hid your mess. But if your life is reflecting to you all that God is, great. Now multiply it so that people who are dealing with their mess can experience more of the goodness, the Godness, the Goddessness. Yes, we are one, Carly Jackson. You can find out more about Carly Jackson by going to Facebook and typing Carly Jackson. Did you hear that sound effect? That's me typing Carly Jackson. But wait, slow your ropes. Or slow your roll, I think they say. Yeah, and slow your rope before you hang yourself. Slow it down. Carly Jackson spelled differently. Carly, C-A-R-L-L-I-E. She's got a unique name. C-A-R-L-L-I-E. And Jackson is J-A-X-E-N. A beautiful sister who stops by every now and then to ask us, what are we waiting for? And was once interviewed on the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. It's time to multiply the consciousness of love. Are you ready? I am. All right. So here we go. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio. Where change begins and change is inspired. And you make a difference. You make a difference by showing up. You make a difference by listening. You make a difference in the world because you exist. You are part of this universal puzzle. And without you, the world will be incomplete. Without you, God will be incomplete. That's right. You make a difference. And you are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. I am is your host. And the I am-ness, I am presence, is uniquely expressing as Life Coach at a, and all the other names. And we thank you all for being here. We're here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern, but I'll save that for Celeste because she has a way. She discovered how to clone herself, so and she's good at doing so many things at once. So I won't go into that. I'll let Celeste come and tell you what's going on. But it's nice to see those of you in the chat room, those of you I can see right now, and the ones I can't see, and the ones I think I can't see because we're really one, so I see you. And those of you in the archive, those of you listening on the phone line, thank you for tuning in to yourself first. And I recognize that just because you're listening, you're saying yes, you're saying the sacred yes to love, to multiply the consciousness of love, and you want to learn, you want to embody the 50 ways to love your lover. You don't need to leave your lover, because if you leave your lover will follow you around. Because you are your lover, and you can't love the lover in you. You can't love it in somebody else. Oh, you're giving too much away. Slow down. Slow down. Don't give it all away now. Ooh, yes, yes, yes. It's time for some announcements. Let's see, is that what time it is? I think it is. How is everyone doing today? I feel sort of, I don't know how I feel. I won't even label it. I feel what I feel, and that's it. Because sometimes when you label how you feel is that you start responding to the label you give it. Sometimes we don't need to be like, I feel tired. I feel this. Now you're going to act tired. I just feel what I feel, and I recognize it. But I'm grateful to be here, to be part of the changes happening in the world, and I'm thank you to see all of you. Tracy's in the house. Sweet Tea from D.C. is in the house. Monica from Alabama is in the house. The phone lady. We got some other numbers we don't recognize. Barry Selby will be joining us in a few. And those of you listening online, if you're just listening and you want to get a shout out, forget it. We don't do shout outs. But we can give you a love out. We can love you that you just can't help but show out. And you can sign in with Blog Talk Radio. Otherwise, just keep listening because we're not attached to what you do. Do what you want to do. Do what brings you peace. Yes, 347-426-3346 is the number. 347-426-3346 is the number. Are you challenged? Are you having issues with relationship? Are you done with relationship? I don't understand people say, I'm done with relationship. Please. You can never be done with relationships. It's part of life. Yes, I know. They're talking about romantic relationship. Good luck. If you think you're done with romantic relationships, intimate relationships, you're going to end up all crusty. Did I just say that? I did. And it's true. Because, oh, yeah, here it is. See, I knew there was a reason I said that. Intimate relationships lubricates you and helps you feel flexible. Helps you love yourself, helps you loosen up, help you recognize that, you know, sometimes you got to bend to life. And there's no point just being stiff and stuck up. It's important to dance with life. So if you're done with intimate relationships, if you're done with romantic relationships, guess what? You're going to be so stuck up, so stiff, so crusty, that you're going to snap one day. And then you go, what happens? How I get here? There's too much light. I missed out on my 15 minutes of fame. I need some love. And the universe will tell you, you were not planned to express the love so you can know what love is. But you said you were done with intimate relationships. You're done with relationships. Well, you get to try it all over again. It's time for announcements. And then we'll do what we do after announcements. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad for your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears, your disagreements. Bring it. This is the House of Love. We have set the intention to support you in your transformation. So whatever you're moving through, wherever you are, maybe you just want to say, ooh, I read your book, Barry, and oh my God, I don't need anybody because I have a moment with myself. I hug myself in the morning and I feel the energy move through me. But wherever you are, it's all good. We are ready for some announcement with Celeste Morgan. Hello, Celeste. How are you? It's time for Celeste. Let's do it.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Metaphysical Rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with to Life Coach Today and our special guest, Barry Selby, and support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. If you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Did you know that you have access to Life Coach Today any time of the day? Sure you do. You can email him any questions you may have, and he will answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachtoday.com. Is there a topic you would like Life Coach Today to explore on an upcoming show? You can email him that, too. Let's get Life Coach Today's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of May is Multiplying the Consciousness of Truth, and we have wonderful guests coming up that will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Jack Armstrong, the author of Lessons from the Source, will be the special guest joining Life Coach Today for a powerful conversation. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Ambassa Safera for the play experience. Have you played with yourself today? Do you passionately love and appreciate you? If not, take a trip on a playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune in to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today. Also, be sure to join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Feel free to go to LifeConversationsMedia.com for more info. You'll find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. Did you know that the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated? Well, it is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu, then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. We thank you in advance for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Thank you, Celeste. How are you doing today? Celeste, I forgot. That was a pre-recorded announcement. Oh, gosh, I was just so in love with myself, I just lost it. That's right. Celeste has learned the art of cloning herself. So she's not here at the moment. She'll be here around 1 and for Celestial Moment. And I was going to say she's rude, but, you know. Yes, you are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Barry is in the house with his deep voice. Let me see if I can match his voice. Hold on. Today we are multiplying the consciousness of, just do you, man. Just be you. Stop fronting. Okay, I let Barry do his voice and I do mine. I like trying to do an impression of people's voice. But what I did realize is when people try to do an impression of my voice, I'm like, stop it. the taste of my own medicine doesn't always taste good sometimes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Electro, welcome. Tracy, silent listeners, disguised as guests. It's so nice to see you all. Tanya, welcome, welcome, welcome. Candy is in the house. Monica is in the house. Other folks are in the house. Silent listeners. And within radio listeners, thank you all for tuning in. It is time, well, actually, before we bring on Barry, we're going to play some music. And I want you to listen to this song, because this is the essence of what we're talking about. This conversation, today's conversation, is reminding you that you are the revival of a love story. That you are the one. You are the one to multiply the consciousness of love. Of course, as you know, this is multiplying the consciousness of truth. This month, that's the theme for the month. Today, we want to focus on love and relationships. Boy, stop trying to do deep voices. You ain't got it. I'm mad at my father. I wish I had a deep voice. I wish I was a little bit. No. Let me just bring on Sherry Marie, and then we'll bring on Barry to talk about 50 ways. Well, we ain't going to cover all those. We can call it 50 ways, we can call it rules of relationship, but really it's about learning to make the most of your relationships, your intimate relationships, your romantic relationship, if you're single or not. Learning that there's so much more to relationships, not just hooking up, going on a date, and, I found the one. Yeah, right. When you find the one, your world is going to be turned upside down. In all ways. Sherry Marie, please remind us what we need to be aware of as we embrace ourselves and learn to love the lover in us. Sherry Marie.
I feel so alone, a ship that's lost at sea. When he walked out on me, I didn't have a plan B. Where do I go to now? How could I let this be? No one here to love, and no one to love me. This hollow aching in my soul. Help me, Lord, before I fall. I heard a whisper deep.
Now the truth of love is all aglow, all the time.
revival of a love story is you. Ah! Spiritual two steps. Slow jam. On a Monday afternoon. Call in now, ladies. 347-426-3346. Send out a dedication. I've always wanted to do slow jam, so I'm taking this opportunity. Shows like that. Ah, Sherry Marie, revival of a love story. Yes, that's right. I am nuts, and I love all part of me. You better join me. Sherry Marie, to find out more about Sherry, her website address is Sherry, CHERIMAREE.com, SherryMarie.com. You are the revival of a love story. And speaking of a love story, we have the love consultant, the passion consultant. He's going to come here and align you energetically. He's the Benny Hinn of intimate relationships. Just through his voice, you fall out and you find somebody. And if you don't, it's on you. Let me read a little bit about Barry. I keep asking why am I so goofy, but I need to stop fronting. This is just who I am, who I'm is, who I will be. Goofy is what I do. Life, it's just, we need to relax. It's not that deep, okay? Let's take off the makeup. Let's show ourselves. Let's connect. Drop all the stuff and connect intimately. And if you're afraid to do that, Barry Selby's in the house. Barry Selby, a.k.a. the Passion Consultant. He's passionate about love, relationships. I don't know why I keep saying that. He's passionate about love, romance, and healthy relationships. There you go. His life purpose is inspiring people to live authentic lives. The vehicle that most effectively expresses his purpose is his guidance, consulting, and coaching of singles and couples to have amazing relationships, living purposefully, authentically, and fulfilling their highest potential. He earned a master's degree in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. And he has also earned his license as a professional spiritual counselor at the Agape International Spiritual Center. If you don't know where Agape is or what Agape is, you ain't lived. You're not even alive. I'm sure if you listen to the show, you do. Barry is the author of 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. And by the time you finish reading this book, if you haven't learned to love your lover, then just go be with yourself. Powerful principles for passionate and richly rewarding relationships filled with deeply fulfilling and juicy romance. Yeah, this is something that will turn you around. Fall in love with that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my brother, my friend, a fellow Brit, Barry.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing? Don't be afraid. People, don't be afraid. It's you. They're applauding for you. They're happy to have you.
Thank you so much. No, I'm over that now.
Yes. How's your Monday shaping up?
It's refreshing. We've had a little rain here in sunny California, which is strange since it's that late in the year, but it's a nice refreshing change, so we're doing very well.
I thought it never rained in Southern California. Tony lied. I thought it never rained. I thought it was just about sunshine. I guess
most of the time it is. But once in a while, it does freshen up the ground a bit, you know?
Okay, let's jump into the conversation. But I must ask you this question. I read a little bit about you, your website address for listeners. If you want to check him out, see who he is, what it looks like, what he's up to, his website address, Barry's website, is thepassionconsultant.com, thepassionconsultant.com. Now, I want to hear from your perspective, from your point of view. Who are you? Who is Barry Selby?
Boy, we've only got 2 hours. That could take too long.
That's okay. We could do a part two if you want. Just for you.
Simply, put it simply, I'm a student of life, I'm a student of love, and I've been on this journey for a long time simply because I didn't know everything when I was born, which I think most people didn't necessarily know consciously, but they knew. So for me, I learned some of the lessons the hard way through my life, and that became partly inspiration and partly desperation to find a better way. Mm. And so over the years of my own evolution, I've been studying different teachers, courses, seminars, retreats, books about people, about myself, about relationships, about all the things in life that make life easier. And it doesn't necessarily make life perfect to have millions of dollars in the bank yet, but it does give me a sense of mastery about who I am and what I'm about. It allows me to travel in the world more authentically, more aligned, and more heart-based than I could have done before.
Yes, yes. And that kind of conversation is needed nowadays because there are so many illusions about romantic relationships. There's a lot of shoots and that we put into this partnering, in this partnership, and sometimes we don't know why things didn't work out, or we say it didn't work out. The truth is, I believe every relationship works out. It just depends on what you learn from it. Now,
yes.
In your book, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, this is the first question we want to ask you. Was your book inspired by Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, and you felt like, nah, let's change that around?
In a way, yes, but it didn't start that way. It started out as I was guided by one of my coaches to write about what I believe in relationships, and I was doing it through social media, not even as a book, and it became principles that ended up being the core 50 elements of the book. And when I sit in there with 50 elements about love, literally, I heard the song in my head, and I went, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover? No, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover, and it stuck. So it wasn't that I had the song in mind. It came out of the back end, the way.
Wow. So that was your response to him. It's like, you don't need you. The truth is, you can't leave your lover anyway, because if you leave somebody and say, you know, I can't stand them, they're just not right for me, you will have another opportunity to live that out, to face what you were running from. So I definitely get it. Now, you talk about your relationship with your parents and their relationship. And I guess when we talk about relationships, intimate relationships, romantic relationships, for me, I think one of the number one teachers are our parents, you know, what they did or didn't do, how their relationship, how we saw it. Tell us your story, your first teachers about relationship, what you learned from your parents about relationships.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, like you, I'm English, which puts a certain spin on our ability to be emotionally free in the starting point. especially as guys, you know, we were somewhat emotionally repressed growing up. So to that end, the way my dad was. And my parents were together up until my mum passed away last year. They lived together 59 years at that point, so they were definitely in it for the long haul. And I love and appreciate my parents. And have all the way. Yet the thing I didn't realize, of course we don't when I was a kid, is that my parents had a way of being a relationship that wasn't going to serve me ultimately, not because it was wrong, which didn't match who I was. And so for me growing up, I was the eldest of two boys, so it was a very, I keep saying emotionally suppressed, but it's just we weren't very expressive emotionally in our family. And so we didn't hug, really. We didn't say I love you. It just wasn't part of the language. And also, my parents, to my awareness when I was a kid, never argued in front of me or my brother. There was never any arguments or upsets or rarely any cross words, and which was wonderful in some ways. And people look at and go, God, I wish my family was like that. Well, yes and no. I'm grateful for that because I know how challenging some relationships or some family dynamics can be with abuse and abandonment and alcoholism, those sort of things. So I'm grateful for what I had. At the same time, one of the things that sort of played out into my teens and 20s in my dating life was I didn't know that people in relationship could have arguments because I never saw the example of that. And it sounds so simple, but every relationship I went into, from dating when I was in my teens until relationships in my 20s, in fact, to my late 20s, in fact, when an argument happened, well, let me back up, when we went into a relationship, it was loving, it was wonderful, it was perfect. And a week, a month, a few months into the relationship, there would be some difference of opinion. And my partner, not having the emotional expression that I had, would voice her upset. And there would become a difference of opinion, even an argument. And I would shut down and leave every single time. Because in my heart, in my mind, in my belief system, if we argued, there couldn't be loving, therefore we couldn't be in a relationship. It was that logical to me. So I didn't know. So I didn't know there was a way around it, that if we had an argument, in fact, that meant, which I now know, when there's an argument, there actually is more loving there because we couldn't get upset with something we don't care about. Mm-hmm. So if there's apathy, that's when the time is to leave because there's nothing going on. Because, you know, hate is not the opposite of love. Apathy is the opposite of love, which is a whole other conversation. But that's the definition, you know?
Yes, yes. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, for me, I feel like intimate relationships, romantic relationships, are really the opportunity to heal the childhood dramas, to look at the things that we learned, the things that we didn't learn, and to have a better awareness. You know, you talked about people saying, I wish I had that. I think we also forget that we get exactly what we need to grow spiritually, what we need to love ourselves, to love others, and to understand love in a whole new way. You know, because as you said, your parents, you know, they had the perfect relationship. But out of that, even though they didn't say that to you, you thought, well, that means perfect relationship. There's no argument. But if there are arguments, then this is not love. And we all have the opportunity to unlearn that. I want to move to what I think, which is really the premise for your book, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is the number one rule is relationship is a spiritual practice. Treat it with devotion, discipline, responsibility, and love, and you will blossom and grow. I want to take that approach. Let's kind of use that to lay a foundation. You know, in the general society, we don't always look at romantic relationship as a spiritual practice. So for you, when you say relationship is a spiritual practice, what do you mean?
Well, to put it on the other side, a lot of people look at relationship as when they get there, they'll be happy. When they get there, they'll be fulfilled. Get there, their partner will make them feel whole and complete, which is so inaccurate. And that's why I look at relationship as a spiritual practice, because a relationship is really a place to devote your energy, your focus, your intention to be more loving in your life and in the world. It's a place where a relationship is something that you take your partnership and you make it something special. Like your spiritual practice would be, like your meditation or prayer or anything else. You do it with such spiritual lightheartedness, because frankly, relationships can be deep work, which is one of the benefits, in quotes, some people it's not so beneficial, of being a relationship, is that it will stir us up and some result. Lisa Nichols talks about how a lot of times relationships are gifts wrapped in sandpaper. And I love that metaphor, because it is that sense that relationships aren't always easy and pretty. Sometimes they require effort and work. And it's that devotion and willingness in relationship where the spiritual growth is. This is where we get to be more whole ourselves, because we then see our projections, our issues, our upsets that a partner has lovingly presented to us, if you would put it that way. So it comes back to how can you be more loving in every situation? And in a relationship especially, is how do you love? And this is one of the biggest opportunities in a relationship. So how do you love your partner unconditionally, so that whatever they do is okay? Not that they do things that are bad, but if they do things that don't necessarily fit what you believe they should be, can you love them anyway?
So you said one of the words that I like, and we all know, we all use it, that loving one's partner unconditionally. Now let's talk about loving someone unconditionally, because I think that's a word that it sounds good. I think we recognize it. We recognize innately that's what life is about. But mm-hmm. the application of unconditional love is the deep work. I believe that romantic relationships, especially intimate relationships, are the perfect tool, perfect vehicle to help us learn unconditional love. Because
right.
unconditional love means loving without condition. Now, how do we love somebody unconditionally when they're mistreating us? How do we love somebody when they don't give us the time of day? How do we love somebody when, you know, they don't invest in the relationship or they're not treating the relationship as a spiritual practice? How do we love them unconditionally? And or do we still stay in the relationship?
Well, that's up to the individual, but I do not recommend that. I do not coach people to stay in abusive relationships where they're not being respected or taken care of. Now, it may be where the opportunity to communicate with their partner, they can change that. But if it's something where their partner is simply not in the same ballpark as them, then it may be wiser mm-hmm. to leave and be your loving yourself enough to say no and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a proponent of saying stick it out no matter what, because some things are just not meant to happen a certain way. You know, there are conversations about soulmates and twin flames and such, and even there's going to be work. In fact, if you are finding a soulmate, it's not there to be blissfully unaware of everything else. No. When you find a soulmate, that's where the deepest work can happen. But it's mm-hmm. done where you both are choosing in and you're both also open with each other to show each other your hurts, your pain, your love, your joy, your gifts, and everything in between. You can then love each other, the essence of who you are.
So what about times when we're in a relationship and it's not abusive, but, you know, we want to make it work, but the focus, because the intention is to make it a spiritual practice, but somehow mm-hmm. there's just some particular issue that keeps coming up. What are the things, what kind of prescription, what love prescription would you prescribe to move through so we can heal this issue that keeps coming up? Got a pain in my heart. I just can't get through it. Passionate consultant.
<Right.
laughs> Go ahead.
Well, first of all, if you recognize it's coming up again and again, that's a hint. Because if it's coming up again and again, likely it is something inside of you you haven't looked at or haven't chosen to look at, and your relationship has been the blessing to show it to you. So it's your choice if you wish to grow, be more loving, unconditionally, and romantically, to look at what it is that's coming up and to work through it, heal it, resolve it as it's come up. One thing that, if I phrase this, some people in the spiritual movement look at loving relationships and they think it's going to be perfect and everything's going to be fine, which frankly is kind of a spiritual bypass where they're just looking at things being perfect, which it is. When you look at the emotional human aspect, which is part of what it's about, and it's that level of where our stuff is in the human expression, where all the opportunity for more fulfillment is, because anything that is suppressed inside, a hurt, a pain, a limiting belief, a judgment, is a suppression of love. So to be more loving in a relationship and in your life and to yourself in the world, those suitcases of pain need to be opened and cleared so you can be more loving. So the choice is, and it's a choice, is to stuff that and bury it and hide it and walk away from it and leave the relationship perhaps, or pretend it's all okay, or say, no, I want to be more loving. I'm going to take the time to look at what it is I've been doing again and again and again, whether it is to reject my partner or abuse myself or whatever those things are. Say, I want to heal this once and for all, so I can be more fully present in my heart, in my partner, in my life, and loving.
You know, I like the fact that you use the rule number one is understanding that relationship is a spiritual practice. And we're evolving mm-hmm. to that place now where we're looking at it differently, because the truth is when you find that perfect match, it would help you unpack the stuff, as you said, the pain and that we carry around that we've been hiding from. From your work, from your individual clients, what are some of the mistakes that people make about relationships or misconceptions they have about what a man should do or what they expected or what, maybe just what's the word I'm looking for here? The misconceptions they have, and there's another word I'm looking for, assumptions they bring into a relationship that causes pain.
Well, the first one, which is the one most a lot of people do, especially in, well, it's shifting now slowly, but it's still very present in our society, is they're looking for their partner to make them feel whole.
Oh.
And the biggest mistake, in quotes, and certainly the biggest error people make in approach is they feel like that they are not whole when they find their relationship. And that is a trap. It is where codependence is birthed in such a painful way, because we are, as you said before many, many times, we are whole, full, and complete as God, as ourselves, as the oneness that we are. So why would we lend someone else to make us feel whole if we are already whole? It's an error in approach. So it's recognition that when we have a partnership and a relationship, we meet them and we give from our overflow. Because the truth is we are 100% whole, complete ourselves. We may not perceive that because we have, again, some hidden pain or suffering that limits our ability to express it. But the truth is we are 100% who we are. So when we're in a relationship, we can give from our overflow. And in fact, relationship is not 50-50, it's 100-100. Because the power people don't always get. And so that's a common error of approach people make. And the second one that people make is that he'll be perfect. that's the one, you know, the soulmate search and the twin flame. It's the labeling gets so blown out of proportion. People look at that and they'll fix everything, and it's a trap. You know, it really is a choice to come back to, can you be loving yourself? And your partnership becomes an expression of that and an expansion of that. So together you become bigger, like in Gestalt. You know, the whole is greater than some of the parts. And that's the wonderful thing about healthy relationships, is that the two people together become even more than they would be themselves alone.
Right.
So I'm a big, it's one of my passions, as you can tell.
You know, I think of the conversation that you and I are having, and when I also think about what some people do when they're dating. And, oh, I mean, we all tend to do it, really. I mean, because I can't imagine going into a relationship and saying, listen, the first time you meet somebody, you start talking, you notice there's an attraction and you want to take it to the next level, as people say. So, well, first of all, let me tell you, I got childhood issues. I got jealousy issues. And I understand relationship is spiritual practice. So, you know, we really need to talk about that before we say anything else. We don't do that. And I don't even think we should do that. But what I do know, I don't know the answer to it, but what I do know is when we meet someone we like, we have our representative go up and say, oh, yes, I'm nice. I'm this. I have issues. I'm spiritual. I meditate every morning. I chant before I go to sleep. I read, whatever. But then there comes a time when all of that wears out. You know, we can call it the honeymoon phase. What are some of the tips that you would give if we're moving into a relationship, if someone attracted somebody, they realize there's some connection there, and they've gone on a date or want to go on a date, what are some of the tips you offer so that they can start the relationship with the intention that this is a spiritual practice? So not necessarily showing all their stuff and bringing it to the first date, but also being present to what is happening in front of them.
That's a lot of questions in there you gave me. Let me see. But let me back up. First of all, yes, it is. There may be one or two people on the planet who do go into relationships saying, here's my list of my issues I'm working on. Can you help me with them? That doesn't very happen very often. You're very right, very correct on that. But lots of times also, we go into a relationship not even knowing what our issues are.
Yes.
Now, some of us have had enough lessons. We do go have a sense of those. So we do, you know, if we have, let me say this. In some ways, one of the best things to do is be honest where you are. So if you are aware of certain things and you haven't resolved them yet, first of all, if you can, resolve them before you get into a relationship. Of course, sometimes they can't be resolved to you with a partner that shows them back to you. But if that's the case, be honest with your partnership when you're walking into that. You know, not necessarily on the first date or the first phone call, but when you're getting to know each other and you do look like you want to be in a relationship and you're having that dance of, okay, how do we fit and do we really like each other? Are we willing to try this out? Are we ready to commit to monogamy and doing this together? That's a good time to be not necessarily brutally exposed and honest, but speak the truth. Say, I want to make you know, make it right. You know, I know from my parents this happened, and I'm still working on that. You know, I'd love your help if that's something you want to dance with. And it is a conscious choice to say that in a conscious relationship that starts that way. Because, again, most people do not even know this or even talk about this.
And you know, as I listen to you, really what I'm hearing, what's coming up for me, is really about intention. I have coached somebody who was coming out of a relationship. Yeah, I guess coming out, or coming out, because she still had some stuff with the partner, the ex, and was dating. But she was attracting people like that who had just come out of a relationship. And I think I know that the conversation you and I are having, if we have a deeper awareness of who we are, we know that we're only going to attract people who are right where we are. So if we have the awareness to say, okay, I want to go on a date, or I want to start exploring my possibility, we need to be honest and truthful with ourselves. So that was easy to have the conversation with the person we meet, right? Wouldn't you say?
Hang on, give me that question again, because I missed some of the context in that.
Oh, okay. I was saying that the idea of when we meet somebody, it's about intention. For some of us, we may have learned the old way. We bring our representative and we just make ourselves look like the best that ever happened. And for others, because we have chosen this spiritual path, we understand that we attract people based on where we are. So there's a certain intention about, okay, I'm meeting somebody for the first time, or I'm developing a relationship. Chances are, well, it's a great chance that stuff is going to come up that we're going to move through. And for me, I'm saying, as I listen to you, I'm hearing that it's all about the intention. It's all about intention. So that way, if we have the right intention to grow and we're aware that stuff is going to come up to heal, then we attract somebody who is in that element, right?
Yes, and there's a piece I can say this. For those people who don't have the consciousness yet to have the intention, this is one of the pieces that is so powerful, but I love this when people get it. Like I mentioned about my story, and I know that everyone has their story about their upbringing from their parents and how they take on certain behaviors and beliefs, and it's not necessarily conscious. In fact, it's most likely subconscious. It's in our awareness. Sorry, it's below our level of awareness, so we don't know about it. What happens is we have, and I call it an autopilot. Basically, it's a part of our consciousness that is driving the car that we're unaware of. So what happens is we will drive to destinations, relationships that we might not necessarily intentionally choosing, but the patterns are bringing forward automatically. So some of the work gets done because we are aware of it and conscious and choosing intentionally. Some of it happens because we are attracting our mate, like a key and a lock fits together. So that if we're dealing with an abandonment issue, not that we're conscious of it, but it's in our psyche, the part that we attract, again, we won't notice about them, will actually be someone who tends to abandon their partners on some level. So we will attract someone who will reciprocate and also will magnify, a strong word, but will show us our pattern in sharp relief. It won't happen in the first few months, but pretty likely at some point down the road, they will be showing their gift of letting us know we're off track. So intention, yes, but also there's a part of us that is almost automatically choosing, without even knowing it, a reminder of those patterns. So doing the work and being conscious, especially when you're single, is definitely a wise choice. So you then attract somebody intentionally. As you said, we have attention for growth, for healing, for evolution.
Mm-hmm. Now we have a question here. A question that was emailed a while back, and I had a guest and I, we kind of addressed it. But I'm bringing the question back up, but I'm going to ask you, I think, let me just make sure Celeste's back. Celeste, are you ready for Celeste a moment? And so let me know. But Barry, there's a question here which has to do with social media, because, you know, the way we do dating and meeting people is different now. We've got social media, people texting or sexting, and sometimes I hear some of my female friends tell me, I'm like, really? Guys sending pictures of the private parts? I'm like, really? Why? Why? I don't think so. Now, I hear about it. I really don't understand it. I don't even get it. But and I hear men in their 40s are doing it. It's like, what point? Anyway, don't let me go for the tangent. But we do have a question that has to do with social media. Now, I want to hear your thoughts on that. We're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we'll do Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan and continue the conversation with Barry Selby. Today, we are multiplying the consciousness of love. And the truth is, you got to start with yourself. You got to be open. You got to be willing to grow. You got to be willing to face your mess so you can catch the message. And when you get the message, you can be the messenger of love. If you run for your mess, you will never get the message. He's like, why? What's going on? Why me? I'm a nice person. It ain't got nothing to do with nothing. Love wants you to be even greater. Love wants you to be so much more. So nice person is not enough. That's just an ego thing. You can be so loving and people think you're not nice. But anyway, we'll talk more about that. If you have any questions, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad if you want to share your experience, what you're learning. Maybe you have your tips for, you know, loving the lover within you and the lover without you. It starts from within. We are going to take a break, and let me say this as well. If you can't call in, don't want to call in, you can post your questions, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears on the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show fan page. Like page. I'm still trying to move. I'm stuck in the past. Like page. Or the Life Conversations Radio. Like page. Like page. We are going to take a break. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
To request your sponsorship package, the email address is info@lifeconversationsradio.com. info@lifeconversationsradio.com.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you. Or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family members' tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45-minute complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com. Or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I thought in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Yes, indeed. Have courage to make the move. Life is in session. Be part of the change. Celeste's in the house. It's time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Hello, Celeste. How are you be? That's right.
I'm great. I'm great. Yes, I'm right here with you, Life Coach, today, and very Shelby. Let me make sure I get my vibration right so I can get the love I want by being it. I'm loving this conversation. I can't wait to go back and hear what I missed. But so far, so good.
You missed great stuff. If you listen to what Barry had to say, if you listen to it again, you will be changed for life.
Life Coach Today, how many times do I have to listen so that I can get it?
Barry's 50 ways to what it does. You missed it. Yeah, 50 ways. Well, the truth is, after the 50 ways, if you don't get it, just give it up.
I know that's
right. You
start
with number one.
Oh, I know that's right. Barry, welcome. I'm so looking forward to enjoying more of what you had to say. It's, you know, I did enjoy your book, and I hope everybody goes out and gets it. Because and let me just do this, and then I'll let you guys continue. Barry, one of the things that I like about your book is that, you know, usually you got to read from beginning to end, but I kind of jumped into the tables of contents and where the chapter was that was calling to my spirit. I was able to have a dance with your book that I really enjoyed. So I want to say thank you for letting us at least determine, okay, now what's speaking to my heart right now? And your writing style is very enjoyable.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right, I am going to get to it. Hello, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 8. 8 is the number of infinity. 8 also represents balance. In traditional tarot, 8 shows up as the strength card, and strength is astrologically related to the sign of Leo. In Mother Peace Tarot, 8 shows up as justice, and justice is astrologically related to the sign of Libra. The 8th letter of the alphabet is H, and H is a holy letter. Words like home, heart, and heat connect us to the magical power of 8. 8 also shows up as the otter in medicine cards. And that's where we're going to put the spotlight today. Otter, slipping, sliding, soft fur gliding through the forest water bright. Friendly otter in tumbling water, lead me to happiness and light. The otter reminds us of the beauty and power of balanced femininity when we all dance between water and earth, the receptive energies. Men and women have a sacred feminine side. Imagine a world where you stop playing your own favorite villain and become the leading lady or man in your life. You have no need to judge others in ongoing productions. As a matter of fact, when you tap into otter medicine, you become one with the one. Did you know that otters hold hands to keep from being separated? They also understand community. They focus their energy where all may receive and give of each other with such open charity. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world when I get to witness balanced beauty and participate in mutual pleasures of earthly and heavenly delights. So what kind of magic is your curiosity creating today? Start a revolution when you show up. Love what you feel and pass it on. The otter represents primal feminine energy. We can all use some of that. So tap in and enjoy. The otter will show you the way to multiply the consciousness of love. And that's the story of 8 through the otter's medicine cards. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a perfect opportunity. Well, I don't know if it's an opportunity. Just how aligned today being an 8, and I think of 8, you know, the infinity sign and balance and, you know, love keeps giving if we surrender to it. Yeah, you know, I just love the way life unfolds. Thank you, Celeste.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful rest of the
day. Spider-Woman.
I'm so out. Doesn't a spider have 8 legs? Okay, I'm done. Bye.
Oh, interesting. Bye. I wasn't thinking about that. She's smart. She's still smart for me. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at A Radio Show. My guest is Barry Selby. He is the author of 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. Ooh, 50 ways. You could spend a lifetime doing that. We're taking your calls, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And yeah, to find out more about Barry, his website address is The Passion Consultant. If you need some passion in your life, thepassionconsultant.com. Check him out. What are you moving through? What are you going through and growing through? We're here to support you. Now, Barry, let's go back. I have a question for you. And as I said, this is a question that we've shared before, and I answered it, and I had a guest. But I want to hear your thoughts, you being a passion consultant and love angel. Cupid that you are. We're bringing people together rather than shoot an arrow into their heart. You heal their heart. So here's the question. Let's see right here. Where is the question? The question is right here. That's not it. Let's try this tab. Okay, let's go here. I've got all these tabs because Celeste left me by myself. Where is it? Everybody just breathe. Let's do a radio trick. We're taking your calls, 347-426-3346. Dying time. Okay, here we go. Do you think it is appropriate for a suitor to remark about the beauty of other women on Facebook? I really don't like it, and I find it disrespectful. Since the man said that he was interested in me and we're getting closer romantically. We're talking about social media. So there's a question that someone has. So she has somebody, they're getting closer, and a person is making comments about other women on Facebook, talking about, well, I don't know exactly what he said, but what about their beauty. What are your thoughts on this?
Boy, this is a loaded question.
we'll take the first one. Do you think it is appropriate for a suitor to remark about the beauty of other women on Facebook? Let's do that one. Let's do that part first.
Okay, let's unpack it then.
Yes.
So social media, well, let me back up and give you some context as well. Yes, social media changed the whole landscape. Online dating services are struggling right now, because online dating services don't have the exclusive market for online connectivity because social media took that completely out of their hands. So, yes, in the social media arena, there's a lot more dating and relationship happening than used to be, and it's certainly growing faster now because of the fact it's so easy to meet people that way. So that's the first thing. Second thing, in the context of, and this is going to open up part of the conversation, if a woman is being courted by a man, and courting is an interesting word to use around social media. If a man's interested in a woman and he's making comments about other women to her or on their Facebook walls, talking to them as well as to this one. So he's interested in one, but he's also commenting on other people's walls. Is that what I think you're saying?
Okay, so ask me, what's the question again?
Yeah, this is the whole technology of Facebook. If Joe is pursuing Susan, but he's also commenting on Deborah's pictures on
that's
her wall,
right.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, well, put names to it is good. It's clearer than, yeah, that's right.
The challenge is, if she's reacting to that, if you, this is the interesting part. When people say things and do things, it's different. So if Joe is attracted to her, he's also attracted to other women, is he stating to her, you're not the only one I'm interested in, or is he simply stating that I'm appreciating beauty? If she's reacting either way, this is such a fickle area. She has an opportunity to grow.
Just tell it like it is. If people can't handle the truth, then you just tell it like it is, baby.
When we react from jealousy, we're absolutely out of our heart. And that's what she's doing. If she can't trust him to comment or compliment other women, she has work to do. Her reactivity, her reaction to that is what's the key here. Now, if he's being overtly sexual about it or he's looking to date them too, that's another story. But if he's clearly focused on her as primary, that he's interested in her, dating her, moving forward in a relationship with her, and he's also complimenting and stating that he is appreciating the beauty of other women, if she reacts in jealousy, she has work to do.
Right.
Because the truth is, it's not about really that he's deserting her, it's that she doesn't trust him.
Right.
And that's where the issue is.
Yeah, because, the word that was going to come out, I was going to say you nailed it, but it's about that. But that, because the question and the essence of this question was about, you know, I think the guy was just generally making comments to other women. And part of what I saw is there's some jealousy stuff going on here. The person who sent the email was saying she finds it disrespectful and she doesn't like it. And the truth is, you know, as you were saying earlier, this is an opportunity for her to heal the jealousy or maybe feeling like she's not enough or feeling like she's in competition. And it's pretty clear. But because one of the things I see is if the person was doing it behind her back, then she has more to deal with. Or if she says she doesn't like it and the guy says, okay, I won't do it, but creates another pseudo name and start using it. And sometimes we don't want to see the truth. We don't want to deal with what is. And we take it very personal. That's not an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to grow, but sometimes we deny it. Now, let's stay with the context of social media. You know, there's so much. There's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's Instagram. The list goes on. What tips do you share with people when they're dating or when they're in a relationship, what to do or don't do?
This is a whole new arena. I love this. What a lot of people have done, I've watched and seen them do this, is they start dating somebody, and then the pictures are all over Facebook and Instagram, and then they change their relationship status to in relationship, where it's complicated, and then 2 weeks later they send it back single,
right?
Or they're looking. I would say, don't be so hasty to update your social media to correspond to your real life. You have plenty of time. Yes, pictures will get on Facebook because one of the joys and the pains of social media is people take pictures of everything now. I mean, you have a camera on your phone, so you have a camera wherever you go. And people take pictures at social gatherings, at gatherings, at events, so you'll be seeing other people. And this is another thing about the jealousy thing. If you're at one event and you're with another woman talking to her, or you have a picture taken of you where you're posing with them, does not mean you're dating them. So again, watch where you respond from. And the thing about it is, what you see in pictures does not always mean what's going on in reality. So I am recommending those people who are getting into a relationship, don't necessarily rush out to say, I'm now in a relationship with so-and-so, and put it on all over the social media, until you really are in a relationship. You know, it's the same as if you were telling your friends back in the old days before there was all this social media, where you tell your friends you were in a relationship with somebody. It's like that time frame. You don't have to be immediately on social media, because that's the thing you do is every single day you need to update your LinkedIn status. Take time and put your energy into the relationship, not into social media presentation of your relationship.
So true. So we got a question here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does gender role expectations hinder or support healthy, loving... No, let me read that again. How does gender role expectation hinder or support healthy, loving relationships?
Oh, yes. gender and polarity, are things I talk about in my book and in my work, and I've really studied a lot the last 5, 6, 7 years now, because it changed my life. Men and women are in different places now than they used to be, back in the 80s, back in the 70s, even how things have changed over the culture. But also the polarity, which is the way I describe it, is the masculine feminine essence of who we are. You know, most men, in the general terms, most men are masculine, most women are feminine. But there's also an overlap and a switch around and in percentages of that in each of us. We have both within us. So the gender roles are shifted in where there's still a glass ceiling for many women, but a lot of women are earning more money than men do. So when they go on dates, who pays the first date? I'm a traditionalist in the sense that I believe men should be courting the women, which is, mm-hmm. I mean, probably true in English, but also I have had this belief that we've lost some connection with our old courting and, when I was talking to men, gentlemanly conduct. And that's one thing that we need to really reawaken and rebirth, because in relationship there's something very healthy, authentic, joyful about having that gentleman lady paradigm. And mm-hmm. a lot of dating, especially given through social media, has become very equal rights, and people lead it. People take charge in a relationship, men and women, spontaneously. Mm-hmm. Having that spontaneity is wonderful, but again, having a baseline where the man gets to be in his authentic nature and the woman gets to be in her authentic nature is healthy relationship. And I'm just giving you surface right now. There's so much more to this piece of the thing about gender roles. In relationship, there are relationships now more quite often where, as I said, women earn more than men do. So financially, there's a different paradigm than it used to be. And that's something that the couple needs to work out themselves, because there are no rules about this anymore. It's very much about how you choose to be in a relationship. The challenge for men, which I've seen, this I've been through myself, where a woman earns more than the man does, is he can tend to lose his masculinity because he starts to become supported versus being supportive. So to find his way in the world, he needs to keep clear about what he's up to, what his purpose is. And this is part of the work I did myself and I work with my clients, is to help men clear about what they want to do in the world, their purpose, their mission, their reason for being, because that's what gives men a strength in who they are. And it's not necessarily about the money side as much as it's about being authentic and being real as a man in this world. Mm-hmm. So for women who do earn well, it's allowing a man to have his strength, to also be trusting of that strength, so he can still be the male obviously leader, because he's not, you know, leading both partners, leading the relationship, but he has that space to be a real man with her, which actually frankly gives her the chance to really enjoy the relationship more.
Right. You know, that this conversation's opened up a Pandora box in my mind anyway. You know,
yep.
Like, yeah, because, you know, sometimes people would say that's the real stuff we're dealing with, and people are dealing with it, whether, you know, there's two parts. When you talk about men being a gentleman, and you don't really hear that. How do you learn that if you never had somebody teach you that? How do you learn that if your father was abusive to your mother? How do you learn that if your father was not around? So that's one part. And then the other, well, I guess let's stay with that for a minute. Let's talk about, you know, what tips would you give? Let's put it that way, because time-wise. What tip would you give to men to start to develop their gentlemanly consciousness,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's not something that we hear about anymore. Usually, I mean, today's society is all the whole thing about supporting a woman, being strong, being the protector,
right.
being the provider.
Yep.
And then, of course, there's the other story about where some women don't want a man open the door for them. No, I'm equal to him. But that's a whole different conversation. So let's start with a gentlemanly consciousness. What tips
okay.
would you share for men who are listening, saying, you know, I heard so much about that and I want to learn? What tips would you share with them?
Well, you know, I'm grateful in a lot of ways growing up in England, and I wasn't from a very high-class family, but it was instinctual. There was a way of being that we were raised with, and I'm grateful for that. So for those of us who weren't lucky enough to be born in England, being a bit facetious with that one, doesn't hurt just for, I mean, it sounds silly, but guys, if you watch old black and white movies, and especially the romantic ones, there's so much in there that if you just notice those things, but the simple act, like when a woman goes to a door, if you're kind enough to open it for her. Now, there are women who do not allow themselves to have a gentleman open the door for them, who will be very extreme feminist, where they go, I'm strong enough, I can do it myself. It's not about strength. It's about respect. So if a man does it from respect, not to try and do it for her, like to prove a point, but out of honor for her, so opening the door for her, helping her on with her coat, holding the chair, she's at her table, standing up when she enters the room even, is one of the extreme ones, more extreme ones. These simple acts change the paradigm. And it's something that I've watched happen. I mean, I tend to wear, it sounds silly, but I tend to wear hats more now when I'm at the daytime, because I tend to get, sunburn on my head because I don't have a lot of hair anymore. And the recognition I still carry is that when a woman's around, there's a temptation, which I sometimes forget to do, is take my head off in respect. And it sounds silly, but there's these little acts that are innate in us. And what they do is they shift our energetic to respecting the other person. And that's what gentleman conduct really is for me. It's about respecting the lady, the feminine, of that, that gentility of the old days, of the way we used to be that we've forgotten how to do.
I think you might need to write another book, Developing the Strength and the Gentleness Within You for Men. So since you're from England, you can bring part of that. Because some of that, listen, I think we it's a reflection of humanity, I believe. We're learning to find balance. You know, there are parents who allow their children to do everything and don't discipline them, and I'm not talking about spanking them. Discipline, it's like really getting them in check so they know right from wrong and all the other stuff. That because they grew up with parents who were so overprotective, they swing all the way to the other side and say, I let my children express themselves. And I think sometimes something like that's happening when it comes to human relationships. Like we're learning a new way. We know there's more. We know some of the things we learned or we saw our parents do need to go. Some of it needs to be harnessed. But we're still trying to figure it out. And I think if we start looking at relationships, you said earlier that it's hard work. Yes, romantic relationship is hard work. You know, there are good times.
It's the best work.
Yes. And if we can stick to it, if we're willing to do the work, we will come out on the other end better than we've ever been, get to discover ourselves. There's actually a question that we have, and because there's other things I want to ask you. I'm looking at time. Where is it? Oh, okay. Let me go to this. The question is, in your communication with clients, what are some of the best things about being in a relationship, and what are the challenges?
The best things about being in a relationship is to be seen as you really are, and to express love like you've never had the chance to do before. There's something about being in a relationship that awakens a part of us that is often asleep. And it's just a place, that's why people when they're in love, their joy and the celebration of life is so powerful. Mm. When you really do that work fully, you can live that way every day, which is such a healing agent for everybody else. So it's a gift to be given in doing that. But it does take commitment and take the work. But it's not where you're spending 90% of time working and 10% joyful. It's more and more joyful all the time. And you just face what's in front of you with authenticity, with heart, with compassion. So it's being more fully yourself in the relationship, because you've opened up the place to be that way. You can do it alone. Right. But in a relationship, there's just that wonderful mirror and that wonderful inspirer in front of you.
You know, I think of, because we really have covered the challenges about relationships. It's really about, I think romantic relationships really forces you, acts as a catalyst for you to be vulnerable, to open yourself up more. And in your book, what you share, the rules, if you will, are really spiritual principles for people to fall deeply in love with themselves and their beloved. But this is not just for everybody. This is for the ones who really, the matured soul, who want to jump in. And I want to ask you this. It's very important, because part of what I sense is a challenge when it comes to romantic relationship is being afraid of being judged or being not enough, being criticized. And so we do everything we need to do not to be vulnerable. How important is it to be vulnerable in order to have a harmonious relationship?
It's the pivot point. If you don't do it, you won't get full experience relationship. Vulnerability is openness. Vulnerability is that sharing of your true nature, all of who you are. If you hold that back, you're not even in the relationship. You're only stepping a tiptoe in the water. Unless you jump in to being vulnerable, you won't be in a relationship, mm-hmm. really. It's just you'll be paying lip service to it.
Mm.
Is that clear enough?
So, yeah. what about when you think of, I mean, I have my definition when I talk about vulnerability. What about people saying, well, in my last relationship, I was vulnerable, I was open, you know, I was trying to love unconditionally, but I got hurt. What would you share with them?
Getting hurt is part of life. But if some people do get hurt, so they tend to shut down to protect themselves. But by protecting themselves, they're holding themselves back and also closing down their heart. Mm. So the risk, yes, there is a risk involved with being vulnerable and stepping out once again into a relationship, especially into vulnerability of partnership. But by being vulnerable, and there's teaching about how perfect vulnerability is perfect strength, but it's more than that. Vulnerability is where our true nature shines. Being vulnerable is where our ability to love comes more fully present, because we can only love when our heart is fully open, which is vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So it is a choice. Yes, choose wisely in your partnerships. You know, don't go into abusive relationships. So choose your partners wisely, but also choose to love fully and be vulnerable, because the most joy you can have, the most value you can have, the most joy, the most celebration, the most love you can have is when you are fully vulnerable.
Mm. And the truth is, I don't think we could really know unconditional love if we are not vulnerable. Because we all need that space to show up. We all need that space to bring all of us, the good, the bad, the ugly, I can't even talk about it. That's where you get to understand what unconditional love is. But if you're hiding that part of you that you judge, that you criticize, then you miss out on the opportunity to be free, to set yourself free. Let's see. Let me see something here. There's another question here. I like this question. What are some ways to expand the sense of freedom when you're afraid of losing your lover? That's a deep one.
Well, you said
some ways to expand the sense of freedom when you're afraid of losing your lover.
Well, you said right at the beginning of the conversation about the intention. And if you are saying you're afraid to lose your lover, that's an intention. So you're already starting to close the door.
Mm.
So first of all, one thing you have to watch out for is what you state or say is your reality, because you're creating your reality. So stating your intention and being clear about what you are about is clear. So if you first of all start saying, I'm afraid we'll lose it, then it's like, well, don't put your energy there. But the thing is, if you start shutting down, you are pushing a partner away. You are excluding yourself from relationship. So again, it's back to once again, being vulnerable, being loving, because if you are vulnerable and loving, then you will be the most powerful, most spacious, most available to us you can be. If that partner doesn't see that, that's their loss, not yours.
Right. Indeed. So it's getting together and not focus on what you're afraid of losing, but focus on what you do have. I want to go back to when we were talking about, you know, a relationship and being a gentleman and a woman earning more than the man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's such a, it seems like a common theme now, because how the world is shifting. What tips would you share for men who are in a relationship? They love their partner, but somehow they're feeling less than a man because they're not making as much or don't even have a job.
Yeah, this is an interesting dance. I mentioned also earlier in my response about how it's clear that men must have a direction, a purpose, and a reason what they're up to. That is kind of the key. It's not that you're going to earn more than your partner. It's more that you're living, you have a reason for living, a reason for being, what you're up to in the world. Men, in general, women do too, but men specifically. One of my teachers who I have studied with is David Deida, and D-E-I-D-A. And I talk about him in my book. I love what he talks about. And one of them he talks about for men, because we are more, as masculine, we are more linear, so we look sequentially. So it's important for us to know what we're up to, who we are and what we're about, our purpose, our reasons of being, and then we have a healthy relationship. What I did for many years, which is backwards, and now I know why it didn't work, is I chose a relationship when I wasn't really sure of my purpose, and I ended up being kind of wishy-washy. It didn't matter how much money I earned. I wasn't in my masculine strength, my spine, my heart, my consciousness. I was along for the ride. And with the paradigm of a woman earning more, the challenge with a man feeling emasculated is he's not living his true calling. He could be doing non-profit work. He could be doing work that is service work. But if he's in his passion and his mission, got his word mixed up, he will basically stay true to his heart and stay to his spine and still be a gentleman. And she will still be allowed to be a lady because he wants to keep doing it for them.
Right. You know, ultimately, no matter what the problem is, the answer is the same. You know, the answer is the same. When we set the intention to look at a relationship, to treat the relationship, to embrace the relationship as a spiritual practice. So any and everything that comes up that feels uncomfortable or trigger feeling less than is the perfect opportunity to heal it. And if we don't, we're going to come back and address it. I want to get a little bit personal with the Brits before we release you. I believe that indeed we teach what we need to learn. What have you learned about yourself? And like, so when you look back at the mistakes and you have to start all over again, what the mistakes you made in the past and where you are now, what have you learned about yourself from the past and now when it comes to relationship, romantic relationships?
Oh, boy. This could take another 4 hours. in a nutshell, though, I will say this. That first of all, I'm grateful where I am now and where I'm going. So everything came before, whether it's a mistake or not, I'm grateful for it because it got me here. And that's a paradigm of when it's like everybody gets. If they're happy where they are now, everything happened to them before that has got them here. So don't start judging and hating what happened. My history of relationships was quite fuzzy and messy. I'm grateful that I didn't make some huge mistakes I could have made along the way. Truth is for me is that I now know so much more than I did before, and my choice of relationship now is a lot healthier than I would have done. So it's kind of been evolutionary for me. So I wouldn't go back and fix anything necessarily. Yes, I wouldn't have minded having all this knowledge when I was 25. But boy, I'm not sure if I'd had the maturity to do anything with it back then. So ultimately, I'm grateful for what I have learned. How I'm in a relationship now is I have a deep respect, and I'm also much less attached than I used to be, which is one of the biggest things I've learned probably, is to really enjoy the dance and not try to get results immediately, which used to be the old driving force. So there's lots of pieces to that answer that question.
Mm-hmm. So let's stay with that personal. Let's get your business frame of mind.
Yeah.
You know, usually, as you said earlier, too, it's like when you talk about gender roles, we generally men are not expressive. Men don't talk about things of vulnerability, intimacy, you know, are not very expressive. From your work, clearly it expresses where you are, that you've learned to connect with your heart and willing to be so much more, willing to show up, to, you know, and bring all your stuff with you. What was the catalyst that caused you to say, I want to be different, I want to be better? And especially, you know, and I say this sort of in jest, as you said, the British are not necessarily known for expressing their emotions. And you can't do this kind of work and hiding yourself. What was the catalyst for you that caused you to cross that bridge of, I've got to hide my emotion, I've got to be strong, I've got to be whatever men need to be, because that's what society said. What was this catalyst for you?
To grow beyond that, to step out.
Yes.
I just was dying inside. You know, I was basically, honestly, you know, I knew I had to change, because basically, if I wasn't going to change, I would just suffocate. You know, life wasn't. I knew there was more to life than what I was experiencing. That I definitely knew. So that's probably the essential statement from it. I mean, there's other mechanics along the way, but the truth is, there's so much that I didn't know back then. Looking back, I mean, I'm grateful I took the steps, because I would have had no clue how good it could have got back then. And it's gone so much better now.
I understand. I understand. When it's time, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
Barry Selby is my guest. But before we release this conversation, I got one more question for you, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it's not even a particular question. I'm just going to throw it open to you, really. What would you want to share with the listeners? Maybe something that you want to talk about that I didn't ask you, or maybe something that you're feeling from this conversation as it relates to relationship or life or whatever that you want to share right now.
Boy, one thing is love. Essentially, that we have so much love to give, and this world is sadly lacking in healing on that level. And the more that we are loving ourselves, when we're in a relationship, when we're single, the more we're changing the planet. You know, there's so much that's hidden and suppressed because love is not being the answer or not being available to people. So the more we love and care about each other and ourselves, the more we change the planet.
All we need is love, indeed. We are multiplying the consciousness of love. And
absolutely.
Heard. The truth is, when we become that place for love in our romantic relationship, we open up the door for more love on the planet. Barry, thank you. Thank you so much for doing what you do, for going bravely where some men won't go. Oh, no, I'm not going to say that. Because if you have your British friends, listen, this is here. That's better than that British man. I want you. If you spot it, you got it. Going bravely where some British men won't even think about. Come off it. Basil, stop it. Barry, thank you very much. And your website address is passionconsultant.com, right?
Thepassionconsultant.com.
And anything coming up that you want listeners to know about, or any particular place to get your book, you know, you can do a little bit of plugging. We don't mind.
Sure, it'd be a pleasure. Well, my book is on my site, so you can go to thepassionconsultant.com and you can click on the buy my book, or you can just do /book. I do offer folks who are really interested in doing this work a 20-minute complimentary relationship consult. If they wish to grab one of those, they can do that by going to my site and clicking on the consult button, or actually type in thepassionconsultant.com/consult. And I have a video series that talks about what I think are the three biggest keys to really getting the love you want. You can sign up for on my site as well. So I offer a lot of free services and support. And yes, if you want to become a client, I love supporting my clients and having amazing relationships. And you can definitely find out more about that on my site.
And so it is. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. Enjoy the rest of your moon day and talk
I
to
will.
You again.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Barry Selby. I want to say Barry Selby, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where that's coming from. The Passion Consultant.com. We are multiplying the consciousness of love today. It continues. You are the place where God gets to represent itself. So whatever you're moving through, if you're in a relationship or not, be the place for love. Be the place for healing. Unconditional love will kick your ass. Yes, yes, yes. And it will kick all the stuff that you don't need out of your consciousness, if you're willing. If you're willing. Now, there are many ways to do relationship, as we have talked about, many ways. But the truth is, you got to be willing to grow. You got to set the intention. And to understand, we're going to take a break in a minute, but to understand that, you know, love is so much more than the
the sex than the romantic aspect of it. That's just, that's actually, really, if you were to put it on a spectrum, I think, well, yes, yeah, actually, yeah, I'm going to go there. If you put it on the spectrum, romance, romantic relationship is kind of the lower end of it. But it's all part of this thing called life. So wherever you are, if you're in a relationship or not, are you loving the lover in you? Are you loving your beloved? You know, sometimes we make the idea that people are single as if it's a disease. Sometimes when you're single, it's important to do your work. And sometimes, what am I talking about sometimes? All the time, if you're single, do your work. Actually, it's a good time to do the work. Now, when you do attract the next person who's going to support you on your next level of development, there's still going to be some, there's going to be some stuff to work through. But the truth is, we are here to be love in action. You are part of the piece of a puzzle. Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to release? Are you willing to just open your heart and trust the process? Oh, Lord, I don't want to open my heart, but I want to have love. You know, we're the divine mission is to be love in action. And when you meet that person, you have an opportunity to burn up, to let go, to throw out everything that has got in the way of you being the love that you are. Like Barry was sharing with us earlier, people look for somebody to complete them, to make them whole. Ooh, I mean, I remember, well, many years ago, I used to say that. It sounds good. I was at a workshop. I did a, well, actually, it was a gathering, and I met, actually, the old friend. You know, we weren't really close. We went to the same spiritual center, and his partner, I'm not sure if it's his wife or girlfriend, but partner, yeah, let's go for that. And she said, I'm his better half. I said, oh, really? I said, no, that means if you're the better half, that any, so here's the bad half, right? Well, better, actually, maybe he's just a good half. Now I just had an epiphany. So if you're the better half, it doesn't mean the other one is bad. Okay. But I still told her that when he gets something wrong or don't do the right thing, because she's the better half, then she just needs to deal with it. We laughed about that. But people say that, that's my better half. No, you're not half, you're whole. And if you go in with the mindset for somebody to make you whole, two things. One, recognizing there's a part of you that feels incomplete, the fact that you're saying that. And if you look for somebody to make you whole, you're going to keep looking, and they will never be able to fill up that hole, H-O-L-E. Only you can do that. We are taking a musical break. We'll be back. Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, let's take a musical break. What song do we want to play? Let's see. I don't know. Let me be led. Oh, let's go here. Let's go to Troy Horn. Do I want to go to Troy Horn? No, I'm not going to Troy Horn. I'm going to go to State of Man. What's the state of your consciousness? What are you afraid of? You got to confront what you're afraid of. Where's State of Man? I can't find it. All right. Send me some energy. What's going on here? Don't you dare leave, because you need to hear the song. Here we go. This is State of Man, and the track we're playing, the song we're playing, we don't play tracks anymore, the fire we're playing is Swallow Your Fears, and it's messing with my head. State of Man, Swallow Your Fears. What's holding you back? What are you afraid of? Where are you blocking love? Where are you judging your parents for what you know or don't know? Where are you blaming your dad for not being around? Or your mother for not loving you the way you want to be loved? Swallow it. Feel it. So that you can be the love that you're looking for. You can be the light. You feel the past pain. Let a man feel.
Say what you want to say. What you know there's something in the way. There's something in the way. Don't act like nothing's wrong. Cause your past seems to haunt you.
girl's going to be out of sync. Now we can't sing. You don't want to ruin, you know, the opportunity to be invited for a gig. So don't sing along. You're out of sync. Rock Talk Radio's got to deal with that. Yes, swallow your fears. You know, the truth is, it doesn't matter what you're dealing with a relationship. Doesn't matter if you've got children and men don't understand, or it's a same-sex relationship. Whatever the problem is, the answer is the same. It's an opportunity to go deeper. It's an opportunity to heal. Why do women do this? Why do men do that? Why can't this? Why? Its answer is always the same. Now, you can take care of the... not so much the appearance. That's what I'm looking for. You can take care of the appearance of the issue. You can take care of the appearance, but you must go within and heal what is being reflected from without. Did I just hear someone say, now where is my man? The answer is the same. When you open up, he will walk through. Let me bring Celeste on here. I know she got a lot to say. The truth is, Swiper, if you're looking for your man, just open up. Open up and he will show up. Like Abraham would say, your love is over there. Your love is over there. The love is over there in the vortex. Sometimes we block our own blessings. Sometimes we're afraid to, you know, we've had the conversation. Anyway, Celeste, we're getting ready to release the show. I know you have some things to add to this conversation. Something told me you got something to say.
Oh, really? Yeah, well.
And when you open your mouth, so much comes out of it. Okay, go ahead.
No comment. I already told Tracy Ann that her man was in the woods playing with the weed people.
Oh, you better explain that one, because some people may not. That may be a little bit too advanced.
Well, what that means is I'm telling my sister, and I'm taking this advice for myself, that we need to get out and frolic in the woods and enjoy that nature. And there's no telling what we might encounter or who we might meet, but getting out there is important. Don't be safe. I'm not telling you go into the woods and find, you know, jumping jack or anything. But I am saying be open to the experience. So I'm playing, but to steal your word, I'm seriously playing. We're going to go into the woods.
Oh, I have all kind of images flashing up, but I won't go there. It's almost time to release the show. And tomorrow we have Jack, right? Jack is joining us tomorrow. Jack Armstrong.
And did you remember to tell our beautiful family about Mark Husson, us being on 1-2 Radio on Thursday, 8 a.m.
Well, actually, I didn't. It kept flashing in my head, but I didn't. So you can tell them one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you guys can get ready for this, on Thursday we're having part two of a conversation between myself, Life Coach Day, and Mark Husson on 1-2 Radio, 1-2 Many Voices, and we'll definitely be posting about it. It's going to be a powerful conversation, and we do welcome you guys to come and check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Thursday. What time?
8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. Life Coach Today.
Go here with your good self. It's time to release the show. It's time to release the show. So, Celeste, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Really?
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Celeste.
All the way till tomorrow. Okay.
Yes. You know, that's just radio speak. All right, okay. All right. I'll talk to you after the show. How about that?
I know. You're happy now? I'm very happy now. I'm a Venus girl. I need to know. Very sensual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting out of here now.
Speaking of Venus, we're going to create a soft space because that's what Venus does. Yes, Bridget Bryant. Thank you, Celeste. Talk to you in a minute.
Bye.
Bye. Yes. Bridget Bryant supporting us, reminding you to create a soft space. Space and a place. I want to play this from the beginning. No, too late. You know, if you want to be in the arm of the person who's going to create the soft place, you got to know what that's like within yourself.
because if someone creates that place for you, you may get nervous and think you're supposed to do something. But you, when you learn to be in your own soft place, and your beloved creates that space for you, and that place, you can, I've been wanting this all my life. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. Tomorrow we're going to be tuning into the higher self as we continue to multiply the consciousness of truth. Be love. It is the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself, for God's sake. Literally, for God's sake, be true to yourself. And be loved. And when you love yourself and you allow yourself to be loved, you will feel the soft place. BridgetBryant.com. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings.
What I want desperately to be.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.